Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Happy Tuesday to you. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day. Or if it hasn't been so far, I hope it gets good for you. You know what I mean? Welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And wow, do I have a very, very, very interesting show planned for today. Oh, man. And I don't know if y'all ready for this. I really don't think a lot of y'all are ready for this topic today. And it's simple. The topic is easy. Are you ready to die? That's the topic. Now, I'm going to put it like this. I know a lot of you regulars of mine, y'all going to run from this one. Y'all going to run from it. Because for some people, that word die or death is a scary thing. It is. It's a very scary thing. So, you know, while we're going through the other particulars, I mean, y'all may want to think about that. Are you ready to die? Man, I tell you, it's just, I'm already hyped about it because we need to talk about that. We really do. We talk about everything else, but sometimes you need to back it up, and bring some of the important stuff out. All right? So we'll get there with you in a minute. All right. Now, for those that would like to participate on the show today, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Facebook me, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right? And those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. And, I'm telling you, I am psyched about this one. You know, I'm ready to hear some things. See what people think about this topic of ours. H2O in the house. I got Divine Design in the house. I got guest 1081 in the house. Welcome to Let's Talk. I hope you enjoy the show. Okay, so. And I want to welcome everybody who's listening on their iPads, iPods, iTrains, you know, your little radio devices, your computers at your job. I know you got to turn down low, but you're still listening. And thank you. I appreciate it. Because Hey, you make the show happen. That is for sure. Now, before I go any further and get deep into the conversation, I'm going to bring up another little topic real fast. We're going to skirt through it, and then we're going to move on to the main topic of the day. Here's one. Mom arrested for alleged assault on daughter's bully at California elementary school. This happened in Santa Rosa, California. A Northern California woman is facing charges that she grabbed a 12-year-old boy by the throat while confronting him about bullying her daughter, authorities said. Delia Garcia Bratcher, 30, of Santa Rosa, came to an elementary school around lunchtime Friday and asked her son, who attends the school, to point out her daughter's alleged tormentor. The mother grabbed the boy by the throat in front of a number of children. No adult saw the confrontation, and Garcia Bratcher apparently had not checked in with the school office before coming on campus. Now, y'all know how I am about bullying, right? My theory is the best way to stop a bully is to punch him in his mouth. And if you're a parent, I say punch him in the mouth also. But Bratcher was arrested on a charge of felony child abuse. Felony child abuse. Really? Why? Boy, I tell you, if they haven't pussified this the kids and the world, and golly, felony child abuse. She was released from jail after posting a $30,000 bail. Man. The young witnesses later said a deputy told a deputy the mother threatened the boy about bullying her daughter. The staff of Elevate Charter Elementary School took photos of red marks on the boy's neck as soon as they learned about the alleged assault, officials say. All right. Mom arrested for alleged assault on daughter's bully at California elementary school. We need to start a fund for those individuals right there for her, because I think she did the right thing. She handled her business, you know, and I really do feel this way. If more parents got involved, whether, you know, you tell your child to go and knock the heck out of them or whatever, bullying wouldn't be such a problem. You know, and here's the other thing. You know who really bumped and got bullying at such a high noticeability now? It was the media. Bullying been going on for years. For years. And who's the biggest bully of them all? Your great country, your great government, they're the biggest bullies of all. They are. But now they want to arrest anybody else that's wanted to get on somebody else about bullying. Ain't that kind of hypocritical? That is hypocritical. I mean, it's just horrendous. You know, now they're going to try and child abuse. Really? That's not child abuse. She's just doing what somebody else should have did to the child, beat his little butt. But again, that's the type of place we living in now. You know, you yell at a child wrong, that's child abuse. You know, that's crazy. You know, my child had a bully messing with him. And now he told me after the fact. And one day the bully said something and he was tired of it. He politely put the little bully in a headlock and beat him down. After I told him what afterwards, I had to ask him what happened, you know, because his mom called me and said, you know, your son been in a fight. So, you know, that's kind of stick your chest time out there. So I went and said, what you was in a fight for? And he told me what it was. And he said, well, I remember you saying, Daddy, the best way to beat a bully is to punch him in the face. I said, that's what I tell you. He said, so I punched him in his face. I said, has he bothered you since? He said, nope. Daddy is, in the words of my favorite, my son, ding, 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 ding. Did some bells go off then for y'all? That's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. And you know what? Even when it comes to, the dang on government, sometimes you got to punch them in their face. That's right. I know some of y'all think you shouldn't touch a child and you should try and talk it out. And okay, that's for those that have the time to sit there and waste breath like that. All right. I'm not one of those individuals. And my child is not going to be one either. My thing, you come at me and I done gave you all chances in the world to leave me alone. There is no more patience. Hey, that's the way I was brought up. I survived. So I'm going to let him do what came on, come up like I did. I know some of y'all going to say, well, Mr. Talk, that's not fair because they have guns. Well, that's another excuse why everybody don't want to discipline a child or say something to them. Well, here's my thought. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. But I'm going to die for something I believe in. Ooh. Dang it, did I just go there already? Man, you know. Well, I'm just putting some stuff out there, man. You know, I'm trying to wait for everybody to get in here because, you know, they've got some stragglers and before we get deep into the topic of the day. But what do y'all think about that? Should she have been charged with felony child abuse? Really? Do y'all really think she should have been charged with felony child abuse? I think that's a little extreme. I turn to myself, I think that is a bit extreme, you know. And why was she charged? Was it pressure from the school or, I don't know. I wonder what kind of school was this. It doesn't really say what kind. Was it a private school, upper level middle school or what? It really doesn't say. All it says is she was arrested on the charge of felony child abuse. Golly. And see, here's the thing. You don't arrest this with felony charge. What about the mama or the parents of the other child? Where they at? You should have arrested them. They child went around here bullying. You know what I mean? And did y'all hear, man, there's a law they trying to pass. There's a law they are trying to pass about bullying to make certain laws explains what bullying is and the circumstances that the punishment you receive. Now, if I'm thinking correctly here, I do believe bullying is something like sexual harassment. Everybody has a different view or perception of what this is. And if you try and make a law about it, you're going to have misinterpretations of it all around, all the time. Leave it alone. It's been around for ages. You know, it's been around. The Romans were bullies. Hustin was bullies. Hitler was a bully. The United States is a bully. Russia is a bully. See what I'm saying? It's all around you. But you want to stop something that's basically natural. The lion is a bully. Anybody understanding what I'm saying here? I hope so, because... They're crazy. They are. It's really, one of those things that make you go, really? 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 That's all I want to say, man, about bullying. All right. It's natural for a parent to go to a school and choke a child. You damn skippy it is. You know, I don't, you know, and see, if parents, you know, sometimes it takes a parent to make some things right. You know, because the teachers are so scared to touch a child. Yeah. Yeah, because I would go and do it for my child. I sure would. I would go and I would go and handle her. I'd go and handle him. That's right. If I had to. So Laura Evans said, the latest on the mother that attacked the bully is that she attacked the wrong child. So, now if it was the wrong child, then yeah. That's something different. You know, she was wrong. She was wrong for that. Yeah, she was definitely wrong for that. If it was the wrong child, yeah, she was definitely wrong. Yeah, she was. If it wasn't the right child. Now, we're talking about somebody who's been tormenting her child. Now, if that's not the right person, then no, she don't need to be choking anybody else. That's all. You know. Oh, now, just her beating out of him. No. If that child hasn't done anything wrong, no, she has no business putting her hands on him. Now, but if the child is over there threatening and causing her daughter, terrorizing her daughter, then yeah. But as I see, y'all say it was the wrong child, so that makes it a whole different story then, or big difference, you know? So that's all I got to say about that. All right, so thank you, Laura, for, you know, let me know that part of it. And I have to digress, as DPH2O say, I have to digress and say, no, that wasn't right because it was the wrong child. All right? Oh, so there you go, H2O. You got my apology. I said I was wrong since it was the wrong child. But if it was the right child, yeah, I ain't got no problems with it. All right, somebody got their hand up, and let me see who I have and where we headed at. Oh, I know where we headed. I'm just waiting for everybody to get here. All right, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
I was trying my hardest not to press the button, but I can't believe what I'm hearing you say.
What?
You're saying it's okay for an adult to put hands on a child.
Well, yeah. That's against the law,
anyone knows that that's wrong.
Well, you know what? You know what?
Because your child is getting, because your child doesn't have the courage to deal with the situation, the adult puts hands on the child. That's crazy.
Okay.
That's so crazy.
Okay.
That's so crazy.
All right.
That's so crazy and uncivilized. Okay?
Wait a minute. Hold up, Beasley. Since when have we really been civilized? Let's go. When have we really been civilized? Huh? Wait, really? You live in a country that is the biggest bully of all. Bullies have been around for years, and there's always someone to take that bully down. Now, you don't have any kids, correct? So, yeah,
no.
I guess you do. All right. So that parental understanding is not there with you. But yes, I say if somebody was bothering my child and he couldn't handle it, and he kept coming home, crying and upset. Yeah, I'm going up there to handle it because somebody else, apparently the school's not helping handle it. So I go and handle it.
How's your son, 11, 12?
Yeah, I ain't worried about that now. My son, like I told the story earlier, my son knows we got to understand and bust him in his mouth.
Yeah, but what if he runs into someone down the line, you know, suddenly runs into someone tomorrow? That's picking
well,
on him.
Well, he's
he
got three brothers.
It. Now I understand the brothers because they're minors.
He got three brothers.
I just don't think it's right that adults should be putting their hands on kids.
Well, okay, I understand.
That's just like common sense. It's just not right.
Okay.
Kids have to find a way to work it out, or the adult has to find a way to work it out. It's just
really?
Not right.
Did you just say that? Adults haven't figured out how to work out most things most of the time. So how are you going to tell me kids just have to figure it out?
I've seen situations get worked out. I remember having conflicts when I was a kid and the parents talked to each other.
Well, that,
like civilized folks.
Well, Beasley,
I remember it happening like
that. That was a whole different era. That was a whole different era right there.
That's a different era, and maybe it's not like that now.
No, it's not. Because, you know, you're talking about a community, a real neighborhood then.
Right,
you know, that's not what
you're
talking about.
You're right. It's a different world now. It was a little bit.
Yes, it is.
Things make more sense, but I just can't see it being okay for an adult to put their hands on the kids. It's just that simple. In fact, I remember situations. We'd be playing basketball, and we were 14, 15, and 16, and we'd be playing with adults. And I remember that it would get a little physical. And it would almost break out to a fight. And I remember one of the guys saying, "Look, dude, you put your hands on me, you're going to jail." This is a long time ago. I remember that. That's always been the law. That's nothing new. And to go around the law or to think that it's right that an adult should put their hands on the kids, parent. I just can't. Just doesn't sit right with me. That's all.
All right. So don't put your hand on them. Put the strap on them then.
Don't mistake what I'm saying.
See, no, I understand what you're saying, but you're mistaking what I'm saying. You know, and once again, that's the problem. Your own kids, just handle your own kids. Well, you know, I tell all my son friends when they come over here, hey, you in my house, hey, if you do something wrong, if he get it, you gonna get it. And their parents understand that. There's no problem with that. None whatsoever. But, you know, I guess I'm a little old school when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't buy into this new belief that you shouldn't touch a kid, even especially if it's not yours. No, if the kid is doing something wrong, need to get his behind toe up. That's all I'm saying. So hold on, let me bring someone else in. Beasley, see, I was calm. See, you got me hyped now. Hello, 111. Welcome to the show. Who do I have here? Hello, are you there? 111, going once. 111, going twice. It's probably Michael that muted himself. Okay, anyway. We'll leave it open, see? I think so. But Beasley, you know, I think if that was, you know, if a lot of other parents though did that, I think that would kind of help with this bullying thing that the media has blown out. Now, you know, and let's think about this for real, Beasley. In all seriousness, bullying has been around forever, correct? It was around when you was a child. It was around when I was a child. You know, I'll agree with you there.
I think, you know, it's a bunch of hype. It's a bunch of bullshit. I think kids are just punks. I had to fight bullies.
There you go. Right.
So, I mean, I don't see why they should have any different. The only thing I disagree with, I told you what I disagree with. But I'm with you on that other stuff. Everybody's are getting bullied and everyone can't get teased. Come on, man. Even everybody goes through that.
Right.
Everybody goes through that. I remember being in the third grade and I went to a new school. And they stuck something on the back of my chair.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back of the chair, I didn't know what the word it was. I-D-I-O-T. It was idiot. But I didn't know what it meant. I couldn't read it. I couldn't figure it out what it meant. And everybody laughed. Kids are just cruel, and they've always been cruel.
Yep, you absolutely.
They've always been cruel. It kind of toughens you up.
Yeah, it does. Laura said we have social media now.
Social media is pretty rough. You got to prepare your kids for it and not have them participate, because even their friend can come in on a platform in a different name. It could be their best friend that they confide in, you know, that can put their business out there or tell a lie about them. Yeah, that's different. You have to really prepare. I don't think if I had kids, I don't think I'd let them participate in that world.
But still, regardless, isn't that the part of the growing up process? I mean, why? Well, you see what I'm saying? That's how you learn to handle things. You know,
I was an adult. Uh-huh. And I was introduced to the first social media type of things, you know, interactions with people on the internet. Mm-hmm. I was an adult. I was already a grown man, and I had to get counseled on it by someone that had been doing it longer. Because I was losing my cool. I wasn't used to anybody threatening me or talking crazy to me. You have to learn how to, that takes an adjustment.
Okay, adjustment,
Yeah, because you can't go in and reach over the internet and fight somebody because they said something. You got to take it with a grain of salt. You got to understand what the whole objective is, what the whole game's about. It's about somebody getting you angry while you stay calm, or it's about people try to get underneath people's skins. That's what it's about. It's about over the internet. Mm-hmm. Get a reaction out of somebody. Other than that, how can anyone's text on a screen hurt you? It's not going to physically do you any harm.
It's not
going to physically do you any harm, and it is so easy yet so hard. Turn the damn machine off.
Whoops, there it is. Just turn it off. Or as they say, unfriend you.
that's harder than it. Than just saying it.
Nah, maybe for a kid. I guess you're right. Maybe for a kid. It's not hard for me. I'm like low when it comes to that. Oh, well. But, you know.
He has a healthier attitude about it.
Oh, okay. Well,
I
do, too.
You see people carry on things from weeks, and I've done it, too. Maybe not as much as others, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nature of the medium. It's the way that it is.
It's the way that it is. Okay.
Yeah, I hope your son stands up for himself, and you don't ever get drawn into a situation where you've got to go bully up on some, or that you got to go beat up on, or intimidate, or do anything. I can see maybe having intimidating them and talking to them, but when it goes to reaching out and like getting physical because of your son's battles. I think it sends people's child the wrong message too.
Well, you know what, Beasley, and I'm gonna put this out here. If more parents would go to the school where their kids are, at least just have lunch with them, you know, you'd be surprised how much bullying will go away anyway. Because I'm like, okay, yeah, your parent become no, I ain't gonna bother you. Because I know I do it every year. You know, I do it every year.
I don't ever remember seeing anything like that happen in junior high school or high school.
Yeah, you can do that.
But I don't ever remember seeing anybody do that. So you're right. Maybe it would make a difference.
Mm-hmm. It probably would. It'd squash some of that. You know, because teachers are scared of the kids anyway. And, you know, by law, they can't really do much. And the kids know this. You know, and let's be honest, there's just some bad behind kids out there that's going to go ahead and try to do and get it beat up on everybody and do everything they want them to do. You know? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. There was consequences at my house when you acted up at school. And I was an actor-upper, but I had to learn to control myself or to be slick about whatever I did.
Because
I always had that in the back of my mind. That wasn't anything that I wanted to go through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe these kids don't see any consequences, or maybe they have parents that are willing to fight all their battles and don't ever let a chance to see it. Don't ever let their kids be wrong.
So you know what? It's not that the kid. Yeah, that too, Beasley. That too. You know what? I can't even argue with
the teacher is an authority figure. You know, and the teacher is the respected, and you should behave and handle yourself and pay attention in class.
Hold on.
I'm getting old. I don't.
Hold on. I need to answer a question. H2O says, how many parents have the luxury of their parents being at school all the time? See, here's the thing, H2O. It's not about being at school all the time. Okay? I know you meant how many children. It's not about being there all the time. You just got to go take time out of your busy day once a 9 weeks, you'll be all right. I mean, you know, it's not hard. You don't have to be there every day. You don't have to be there every day. Just make your presence known. What parent can do that when they have to be at work? You get a lunch break, H2O. Come on now. You get a lunch break. It's not that hard. See, and long as parents making that kind of excuse, yeah, bullying and all this craziness going to keep going on. See how long you keep your job. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, man, I tell you. But, you know, that's the cop-out right there. We got somebody else with their hand up. Let me see who this is. Okay, 111, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Eric.
Hey, Granny, how you doing?
I'm fine, and you? And good afternoon, Beasley.
Hey, Granny, how you doing?
I reckon I'm Father Midland.
That's good.
All right.
Now, let me share my experience with you as a child growing up. I was bullied, too, quite often, at my grandma's house. And, you know, when I would come running in the house crying from getting my ass beat, I would get another ass whooping. So that was two ass whoopings. My grandmother told me if I didn't defend myself, regardless if I got my ass beat or not, she was going to give me another ass whooping.
I remember those days.
I had to fight a lot. And even if I got my ass beat, the bullies finally realized that I just wasn't going to succumb to them beating on me.
That's right. Bullies really don't want to fight.
Go
they
ahead,
just want to bully.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
And as far as in school, you know, back when I went to school, the teachers was able to whoop your ass. And if
Amen.
It was found out I got paddled in school, I got another ass whooping when I got home. And I used to act up in school and cause a lot of chaos, joking and acting a fool in the class or what have you. And you know what my grandmother did? She would come up to the school and sit in the class.
Bingo.
To see what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can best believe I wasn't acting up then, because she would whoop my ass in front of everybody. And she has whooped my ass in front of everybody in the whole neighborhood. Passing is that? So, you know, I got my shit together.
It don't take too many of them in order for you to get the message.
No,
you
it does.
I started whooping asses and acting right in class.
Mm-hmm. There you go. See?
That's all I want to add to the convo.
You know, most people.
All right, thank
I know
you, Granny.
I knew Granny came up in Los Angeles like I did, and most people from Los Angeles, their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they're from the South, and they had that mentality. Don't come inside. You better go out and fight them. My mother didn't have that mentality. She didn't want me fighting.
The same shit with me. My mama, she didn't believe in whooping ass and fighting and all that, but that wasn't the case with my grandma.
Yes, your grandmother probably was from somewhere in the South, and that's most people. That's most people had that mentality. My mother didn't really approve of all that, but I told her I used to have to fight.
Well, I'm not going
to lie.
Why
would you have to fight? I said, they'd be bothering me. If I don't stop them, it's going to never stop.
Yep. You know, I never had to worry about that. You know, I remember one time I had to fight two brothers because they were bothering this girl. Usually when I got in a fight, it was over somebody else, either, you know, a young lady being bothered or my brother, but I never started any. But I sure finished a lot of them. Huh?
You've had that cape on all your life, huh? You would fight two brothers because they were fathering a girl?
Yep, and I liked the girl. I beat them down, too. I still got the scar in between my fingers where I cut myself while I was fighting them. But I beat them down. She was impressed. Wow. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, I don't start fights. I try to walk away from them. And I tell my son the same thing. But sometimes, you know, if it comes, I mean, if they come at you and continue to come at you, you can only walk away so long. You know, man up, do what you got to do. And whether you win or lose, it should be over with then.
I don't think I would teach my son to walk away. People don't respect walk away. I'd let him develop. I would teach him how to steal first. I would. I said, while he's talking and running his mouth, you just sit there, you ball your fist up, and you look at the place on his face, preferably right around that chin. You know, that chin, or right in there in that eye nose area. And you just pick the area you want to sock, and you just count to three, and you sock him right in that area. And then sock him again. And that's going to stop the problem. You're going to be in a fight, it's going to stop the problem. And do it around as many people as possible.
Okay. All righty.
You got to send a message out.
And that's what these men, that's what happened to me until I finally learned how to fight.
Yeah, I'm with y'all on that. But, you know, my first theory is, you know, don't get it. Walk away, man. Walk away.
Yeah, Eric, I want to say this. I don't think no adult should ever put a hand on a child. Just what my grandma did, she'd make me go back out there and fight. And she looked. But I don't think adults should be getting into confrontations like that.
No, I agree.
I say, let's just go out there with your strap and get both of them, and they know better, and then you're on your way. Oh, I forgot. You can't do that. That's child abuse.
Right. You can't do that no more. So you make your child go out there and beat their ass.
Uh-huh. Didn't if they know they'd be saying, I'm not a fit parent because my child out there fighting, defending himself. You know what I mean? Woo!
Oh, well, I just have to deal with the consequences when they get here. But if I can't chastise a child, you take your ass out there and fight.
All right. Y'all done beat me up enough about it. Y'all done beat me up enough.
See it different.
Yeah, I do.
I hope that situation doesn't come your way.
Well, like I said, he has, three other brothers. If they can't handle it, then, the big dog got to come and handle it. Yeah, you know, like I say, he got three other brothers.
You only need to get involved when the stupid parents get involved then.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, well, then his mama going to jump in before she tell me about it because she already know what's going to happen if I get involved. Because I done got heated. I'm mad now. But anyway, that's a good... You know, that was the story, man. I understand what y'all saying. And, especially since it was the wrong child. Yeah, that was not kosher. That's the reason why I'm saying.
See what happens when you're reacting out of anger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And emotion?
Well, she said she asked her son. I guess he really didn't know who was beating on the girl, his sister either, huh?
You don't know who is bullying you. See, she should have let the child handle it.
Okay. So basically you think it was like a little boyfriend-girlfriend type of thing. They liked it each other, and that was their way of showing it, and then they got out of hand. You know, sometimes that happens too. All right. I see we've got the house pretty full now, so it's time to move on to the topic of the day. Are you ready to die? But before we do that, there's some spoken word that was sent to me through on my email and requested that I play it today on the show, and I will honor that. Like I tell y'all, man, y'all want me to play something? No problem. Just sit and email it to me. or the name, I can find it, you know, and I'll play it for you. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to listen to some spoken word. And then when we come back, we're going to get on the main topic of the show today. Are you ready to die? All right. So I see y'all on the other side.
You know how strong you have to be to make a black woman smile? Do you have any idea what an accomplishment that is? Because she has borne the weight of this country on her back for 400 years. She's been carrying the load of America in her belly since its infancy. She has suffered the agony of unassisted, husbandless child rearing since the 60s. Have you any idea how much strength it takes to put a smile on her face? You need the strength of Samson, the nerve of Joshua, and the courage of David facing Goliath. Because she has cultivated in her womb the marvel of the universe, only to have her hopes and dreams aborted and her aspirations show up dead on arrival. She's given birth to kings and queens and delivered on her majestic promise, only to see her children kidnapped and sold to a criminal with no respect for her royalty. If you can make a black woman smile, you are a miracle worker. Imagine breastfeeding your child in Virginia and having him snatched from your arms, branded, then hijacked to Louisiana and publicly fondled on a New Orleans auction block. If the memory of that pain was locked bound in your DNA, would you be smiling? If you breastfed someone else's child only to watch her grow old enough to call you darky, pickaninny, and nappy-headed jigaboo, you wouldn't be smiling either. If you can make a black woman smile, you have done something. If you can make her smile, you are stronger than Atlas, because God knows she has been. She's been raped and ravaged and scorned and nearly annihilated. She's been pimped and pummeled and stoned and deliberately depreciated. She has cooked and cleaned and sewn and never been compensated. She's been forced to watch the offspring of her loins mangled and maligned across centuries. Her character has been continuously smeared, assassinated over and over and over, again and again and again. You ever thought about how strong you have to be just to be a black woman? She's had to make brick without straw after being stripped of all her customs, all her culture, and all her traditions. No other woman in the history of the civilized world has gone through what she's gone through. No other being on the planet has endured what she has endured. She's been chastised, criticized, demonized and terrorized. She's had to stand when her man was bullwhipped for trying to stand. She's had to stand when her man was castrated for trying to stand. She's had to stand when her man was hung by his neck for trying to stand. She's had to carry her man, because every time he tried to carry himself, he was murdered for trying to do so. Ask Betty Shabazz about Malcolm. Ask Coretta Scott King about Martin. Ask Emmett Till's mother. If you can make a black woman smile, you have achieved something. Since 1619, when we came in chains, the entire world's been messing with her brain, disrespecting her, calling her out of her name. And she's tired. Just plain Fannie Lou Hamer tired. Tired of being called B words and H words and N words and other words and everything except the child of God that she is. But the one thing in this world that will make a black woman smile is her man. a real man. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, she will smile. She will smile regularly and gladly. So man up, my brother. Man up and make your woman smile. Treat her like the queen that she is. She deserves it. And recognize this. In all of God's creation, there is nothing more alluring, more appealing, or attractive. Nothing more beautiful. Nothing more charming, more charismatic, or captivating. There's nothing more delightful. Nothing more elegant or exquisite. There's nothing more fascinating. There's nothing more inspiring, intoxicating, or invigorating. There is nothing more magnificent, nothing more lovely than a black woman's smile.
All right, man. What the Woo, that was so beautiful and strong, too. That was Ty Gray Ale. I'll type it in the chat room. Spoken word artist, I guess. And I want to thank my chat room coordinator, Antoinette, for sending it to me. Whew, that was good, man, I tell you. I was almost ready to play it again. Oh, Lord have mercy. But it was good. And it has a very, very strong message, man. I'm telling you. It has a very strong message. Pretty much is, if you treat them right, man, you got something good on your hand. If you treat them wrong, well, you deserve what you get. You know what I mean? I know, y'all. Somebody, there he go again. Well, I'm just telling you, y'all call me the white knight, whatever. I'm just telling you, you know, it's all good. Oh, Mr. Beasley, what you think about that spoken word right there, sir?
I mean, it's all right. I don't know about your theory. If it works just like that, if you treat them right, you've got something good. And if you treat them bad, you have something, you know, you have something bad on your hands. Seems like I don't really know if that's true. In fact, I doubt that it's true. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Just guys treat women right all the time and get curved and pushed to the side.
Well, yeah, I know that, Beasley. I'm just saying 9 times out of 10, that's what you get. You know, but okay.
I wouldn't say 9 times out of 10.
Okay.
And then there's the women that always seem to. It seems like they are more attracted to the guy that's not necessarily treating them that well.
Hmm.
The one that.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Just a thought. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to leave that thought right there on the floor right now. Maybe we'll come back to it later on in the show. All right, y'all. Are y'all ready to get into the topic today? Because this is a good one. Are you ready to die? I know, boy. I said it at the beginning of the show. We ain't going to get a lot of participation on this one because this is a deep topic here. You know. And when I first thought of the title for the show, whew, man, I really wanted to talk about how Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Medgar Evers, Harriet Tubman, you know, and many more, how they actually, you know, were willing to give up not just their careers but their lives for what they believed in. You know, which is a strong thing in itself. But then, after really sitting back and thinking about this thing, you know, I realized that to answer this question, you know, you have to go a little bit deeper than just that. You know what I mean? You have to go just a little bit deeper on that one. You know, because many of us live on, go by every day. And one thing we never think about is when that time is going to happen. You know, when will my time end? Am I really prepared to? Now, I know some of y'all say, well, yeah, I got my will together, and I got my stocks going to my kids, and my cars are paid off, so we don't have to worry about this. But that's fine and dandy. That's fine and dandy. You know, that's all the things, you know, they tell you you're supposed to have. But looking deep inside yourself, you know, are you, listen to what I'm, are you ready to die? You know, I know it takes a little thought because, you know, when I came up, when it was put in my mind, I was like, really? Really? But this is a good time to talk about that. Are you ready to die? And I'm you know, often I relive the last 4 years of my life, you know, and this kind of, I guess you say, led me down this road to this topic. You know, I lost my mother, my brother, my birth father, and my second mom. All within that 4 year time frame. I watched my mother and my brother take the last breath. You know. And you know, the thing about it, when that final breath came, it was so peaceful. You know, peaceful. It was like they were ready. You know, there was no more fighting and no more, you know, worldly stuff going on. They were at peace. You know, and they just went on. So, you know, that's why I came up with this title today. Are you ready to die? Because I'm at a point in my life, and I don't mind telling y'all, I'm ready. I am ready. If I was to say my last breath right here on this radio show, then, hey, I'm ready. But how many of you can say that? How many of you have actually taken the time to sit back and think about this? Are you ready to die? What does it take? What do you think it takes for you to get ready to die? Because I think this is something that what can I say? This is something I think that everyone has an individual take on. No one can say, you know, they're ready to die in the same way. You know, because it takes so many. You know, so I want to hear, I mean, there's no right or wrong answers to this, of course. No, but I just want to hear, you know, what do y'all think about that? Are you ready to die? You know, have you taken the time to really sit back and think about that thing? When your eyes finally close, you know, are you ready? Because let's be honest, there's some people that's not ready. And they'll tell you that. No, I'm not ready. But the question is, are you ready to die? Granny says, Eric, you were a soldier, so how is that an issue? Well, Granny, it was like this. As a soldier, that was my job. If it happened, it happened. So be it. That's part of my job. But now that I'm no longer, you know, active duty, you know, I have to think about it on a whole different type of level now. See what I'm saying? It's just not, you know, I go out here every day and put on the uniform and fly overseas and go out there and shoot at somebody. Somebody shoot at me. If I make it, okay. If I'm not, I know it's my time. You know, that once again, that's just something that's just out there. But what I'm talking about is something deep inside you to where you know if that time came right now that you have done everything, you're ready, and it's just peaceful. And, of course, like I said, I know many of y'all not going to call in and say anything about this because it's a little bit deeper than what you want to talk about. But it's okay. I understand that. You know, we're not trying to get on a religious tip. We're not trying to, you know, force you into doing anything. But I just want you to take a moment, you know, take some time and really think about that. Look inside you. Are you ready to die? You know, have you done the necessary things to have peace at your final breath. You know? Hello, open mic. How you doing? Glad to see you join us today. Hopefully you won't keep jumping in and out. But, yeah, are you ready to die? You know, and as I mentioned, we're not, you know, a lot of times when you say, are you ready to die? You know, of course, people think of wills. Yeah. Think of wills. Think of inheritances and, you know, life insurance and all that other stuff. But that's as far as someone else. Now, Granny says, I would think religion plays a big part in this. But Granny,
I think so. I think so too.
Well, what? Okay. What I was about to say is, but with the world being so, how can I put it? With the world being so anti-religious now, you know, because a lot of them are moving away from you know, from religion, organized religion, in mainstream religion, you know. Is religion really a part of it now?
Of course.
Of course. Well, there hold on. Let me answer. Let me answer something in the chat room real fast. All right. H2O says, ready to die? No. Prepared to die? Yes. That's two different things. You can be prepared to die and still not ready to die, like you said. You know, that's a couple of things there, H2O. You know, like I say, this is not nothing that, you know, this is a some deep thought. Okay? Because, man, I'm telling you, it's deeper than that. You know, I think religion is good, but being prepared to die, okay. Everybody can prepare to die. You got your wills in order. Okay, you got your life insurance in order. Whoever your spouse is, whoever you're living with, they know where all these things are. Okay, you got your DNR in order in case, you know, you go on life support. You got all that, which means you are prepared. You prepared. But being prepared does not mean that you are ready.
Ready for what, though?
Ready to die, leave this world.
I don't think most people, I mean, unless you commit suicide or you have some terminal illness, you know, there's people that drop dead in heart attacks, that die in accidents,
and
all kinds
of
ways.
But does that mean they weren't ready?
I don't even know what that means. I'm trying to figure out what it means. No, and I can't knock religion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because many people believe, I don't, believe that after they die, that they're either going to go to heaven or hell. Most people believe that. I don't believe that, but most people believe that.
All
so,
right, one way or another, right?
What do you mean?
I say you say most people believe that. I'm saying so one way or another, they believe
that. Yeah, that's
a
religious belief. That's a religious belief. That's a religious belief. When I told mm-hmm. someone, a friend of mine, now I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but I don't believe that. I believe that when you're dead, you're dead. That stuff's religious dogma. That's a bunch of hype. Heaven and hell are right here on earth. But I told someone that what my thoughts were on heaven and hell. They said, "Do you believe in God?" Because they can't subtract their organized religion from God,
mm-hmm.
from the Creator. It all comes together. You know, this conversation, you'll get yourself down in the dumps thinking about stuff like this.
Really? Will you? Will you really get
yourself
in the dumps?
Yeah, you know why?
Dumps?
Because you're alive, and when you die, you're going to be dead forever. A question you might want to ask yourself is, are you ready to live? Are you ready to live, or are you tired of living?
No, are you ready to die? You're living now. Every day you breathe,
you're
living.
No, I'm ready to live. I'm not ready to die.
Okay, then. You're not ready. Just say you're not ready.
And most people don't want to die.
Well, see, that's the point I'm trying to bring in right now. That's what I'm trying to say, Beasley. Some of us,
holding on.
But see, we need to start thinking about that thing and get ourselves together inside us, we, me, you, everybody else, to make sure that when that time comes, there is no doubt about it that you are ready.
Man, I think most people aren't ready. And when you die, you're dead. And it doesn't matter if you're ready or not. If you, I mean, it's good to have your business in order. All the stuff that you mentioned, I do have a will. It's good to have your business and your paperwork in order. So things, you know, if you've got descendants, so people don't have to a mess that they have to deal with. I think that's a good thing. But are you ready? I've lived a pretty full life. I've done some wild and some fun things, and I've done it on my terms. So, and I've used to say, and I would say it now, that God, if I had to go, I had to go. It's been real.
All right, hold on. My line has just lit up. So I'm going to bring, oh my goodness, I hate to ask who all this, these people are, but we're going to bring them in. All right, the first 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Yeah, Eric, Mr. Solution.
Hello, Mr. Solution. Hold on for a minute. I got some more people to let in, okay? Hold on. All right. Hello, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
How you doing, everyone? Mr. Solution, Beasley, Mr. Talk, everyone. Wonderful. What are you guys talking about today, death?
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Let's see. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hello, Mr. Talk.
Hello, Maze. How are you?
Marvelous, as always.
It's like roll call today. Hello, 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
I heard Beasley talk.
See? Roll call today.
I heard Beasley talking about how he's prepared for when he's dying. So is this a show about estates, wills, preparation for your family after death?
No, it's a deeper thing than just that. It's deeper than that, Joe.
Can I go first?
No, Miss Solution was going first.
Maze, is he not talking to me?
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on. All right, we're not going to do that today. All right, go ahead, Mr. Solution. You were up first. Go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to locate it. Yes, here it is. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First of all, that's an unhealthy thought process. I think Beasley was trying to put you on the right track. Death is quite unnatural. It's antithetical to human life or the psyche. Death was only brought in as a punishment. Remember, in the day that you eat, you will surely die. And as a result of that, Beasley said, and I concur with that, it's are you prepared to live? Death is going to take place. I mean, age is what determines it. At some point, time is going to wind down for all of us. Now, I hate that. I think it's horrible. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians. If you, I was just looking here, it says, he's talking about this very subject, but he calls death the enemy, and death is an enemy. So I would just say a person who is obsessed with death probably is in need of counseling, severe counseling, and there's probably something going on with their life that they aren't enjoying life. Life is indeed a gift. You know, Christ said that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Here's that 2-minute warning.
We're not asking those questions.
There y'all go. Stop.
Well,
go ahead and finish, Mr. Solution. Go ahead and finish, Mr. Solution.
I mean, you know, you can let these other people who seem to have so much to say chime in, but I was just laying this particular foundation. And I know a lot of people don't come here to learn. They just come here to play grab ass.
All right.
Each other down. But anyway, I was sharing this information that is legitimate about someone who's mentally stable. And a lot of people aren't mentally stable.
Okay, well, you know,
thinking about death is morbid.
You're talking about crazy.
It's depressing. It's a downer.
Hold up, hold up. Because neither, it wouldn't let, stop. All right, now. Number one, Mr. Solution, I understand what you read out of the Bible, but I disagree with you on that. I don't think thinking about death is a morbid thing to do, because some point in your life, you're going to have to think about it. You know, and I feel that if you think about it and you work it out within, from inside, deep inside you, to where you know if and when, well, when and where that time happens, you are ready to get away from this body that you in. You know, you just have to, you just ready to go. It's not that you walk around thinking about death every day. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but sometimes in your life, you have to give it some thought and to make sure that you are actually ready. Because a lot of people die, and like BZ said earlier, a lot of individuals die, and they're not ready because they never thought about thinking about it.
You know? Nobody is really. Oh, go ahead, tell me when you're finished that way, because I do have another.
You said nobody. I said you should say nobody is ready.
Nobody is ever ready. No,
I disagree with that.
Look at your son, for example.
Should
you have
this
conversation with him about his life? And if not, why not?
Yes, actually, me and him have talked about it to a certain extent. Yes, we have.
And what purpose results from your having this particular conversation with your son?
Well, with that, he understands the process, number one, and I just want him to be aware that that's not nothing to be afraid of. See, and that's the other thing. A lot of people are afraid of death. Why? You know, just the thought of it drives you crazy.
Because death is the enemy. I just went to have a checkup the other day. I don't know if you do that. If you do, I think it's a good thing, but the whole gist and thrust of life is staving off death.
Okay.
That's the whole point.
Can I give a comment? Some people are alive and dead inside.
Hold up. Are we going in order, Mr. Talk? Because I want to make my presentation real quick, please.
Wait a minute. Both of you, hold up a minute. Are you through, Mr. Solution? Wait up.
Well, no, I hadn't. I was just going to say that, what we do, healthy eating, getting our education, everything that we do, if you think about it logically and reasonably, we're preparing to live a happy, healthy, productive life. So I think the issue of talking about death is not a healthy subject. It's not a healthy subject for the purpose of spending that much time on, because that kind of seems like a person who's defeated in life and they're trying to escape. And
well,
that's why they say the suicide is the ultimate in cowardice. People can't, they don't develop the skills to live life. Life is to be lived. Death is going to take care of itself. Now, I disagree with Beasley that because if God exists, obviously God has the power of life. And, of course, God is going to rectify the problem of death. But I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 15 if you haven't.
Hold on, Mr. Solution. You know, I understand that, but, I have to disagree with you, and I think talking about death is actually a healthy thing, you know, to help people understand, you know, that it's not nothing to be afraid of. It's something that you should sometime embrace because it's coming. That's something you can't get rid of. So why not make sure on the inside of you that you're ready for it? You know, and you say most people die. I know I watched my mother and my brother take their last breath, and I surely can say they were ready.
Yeah,
you know,
but they died under
circumstances
where...
Can we get in this?
Yeah, well,
oh, hold on.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Maze.
What time of year did your mother and brother die?
Huh?
What time of the year did they die?
Both died in December.
Okay. So you watched them take their last breath.
You're
not saying you want to die. You're just saying you're ready.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought I said that already. Yeah.
But how would you put it? By you watching them die, and you were there and you saw them take their last breath, and they were sick, and that's why they were ready.
Well, you know what? I actually
can
say that they were sick, yes, but I actually
suffering.
Can say, huh? They were ready.
They didn't want to have, and they were tired.
Well, I understand your point, and yes, but they were ready before that, Maze. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, you were ready?
Huh?
You said you were ready before that?
I say they were ready before that.
Oh, well, you...
Yes, I'm ready right now. I'm ready.
Well, sometimes you get depressed when you watch somebody take their last breath. I mean, you get depressed over that. And sometimes it hits you to where you just feel like you have no need on this earth anymore.
Okay.
I'm talking about experience. I watched my mother die, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To take her last breath. But I don't want to die just because I saw her take her last breath.
Well, see,
some people just get
hold
tired.
Hold on. Wait a minute. See, and here's, I think, where the rubber is hitting the road the wrong way. I'm not saying that I want to go out there and kill myself right now. That's not what I'm saying.
That's what you sound like.
No, that is not what I sound like. That's what you're
hearing. Clarify yourself.
No.
I have already. You just are not listening. Hold on. Go ahead, Joe. And then
no,
we bring
Michael was here first.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Wow. Damn, Mr. Talk, you skipped over me. I've been listening for a while.
Are you going to talk or you going to complain? Are you going to talk or you going to complain?
Well, first of all, Mr. Talk, because I don't like the biases. But, you know, that's just me. You know, I'm just poking with you. But anyway, first of all, we have to bring some terminology. We have Mr. Solution, Mr. Beasley here. You know, they're the grammar scholars. We have to correct N2K in the chat room. We talked about being prepared and ready. They're synonymous. Being prepared and being ready is the same thing. Let's not switch that up, guys. Now, what we're talking about is you can reflect on death. There's nothing wrong with having a conversation about it, but dwelling on death is a problem. Now, religion always dwells on death. But see, I want to say that we are all going to die. So death is a part of us. It should not be our enemy. And listen, all of us are either going to be cremated, burnt, or our body is going to decompose in some way, actually. I think we can say that. That is a part of life. That is a part of the cycle of life. It is what it is. So why is it an enemy to us? When someone is dying on their deathbed, you can come in the room and talk about politics, talk about what's going on. They don't care about that because it's more meaningful than them. The petty disagreements that we talk about every day, someone on their deathbed is not worrying about that shit. Now, when we talk about being ready, what do you mean talk about being ready? Are we talking about being ready to go to a better place? See? Because, I mean, everybody's on that deathbed. We're always going to be incomplete of something. We always may not complete things in our life when that death comes. We don't know when death is going to come about us. That's the interesting thing about life, and I agree. Dwelling on death is not living. Now, when death comes, I agree. It's going to be sad when we lose our loved ones, but we have to have some acceptance so we can't be depressed about that. But we have to live. Listen, I agree with Beasley. In religion, that's how they make their money, because if they do not talk about death in the afterlife, in this facade, and I would never demean a religious person, because if that's going to make them better, if that's going to make them feel better, and make them feel better about death, who am I to say that they can't do that? I'm just saying we're all going to meet that same, death is going to come to all of us. So it's not our enemy. It's a part of nature. Someone said it's unnatural. It's not. It's a part of nature. Without death, there will be no life. So both are two sides of the same coin. So, and I want to say this and I'll be quiet. Let's get real deep. What is the meaning of death? If people believe in the afterlife, is there actually death? What does it mean?
Michael,
that's all
Michael,
I have to say
Michael,
so far.
Michael, are you ready to die?
What do you mean?
No,
Am I ready to die?
Yes, are you ready to die?
I have to be. Of course, everybody has to be.
No, everybody does not have to be.
Hold on, listen to me. You're saying if I die 15 minutes from now, you're going to tell me I'm not ready? No, when death comes to my door,
see,
no
see
I'm
Michael,
not ready.
Michael, see, what I'm saying is, Michael, listen, what I'm saying is, no.
Wheels, that's
what I am saying, Michael, is inside your spirit, your body, are you ready to die
now? What do you mean by spirit?
If it never
comes
mind,
to
Michael.
Me, I'm going to die. What do you
okay,
mean by
never
that?
Never mind.
See, now you're saying my spirit must be ready to die so I can be, what, better in the place so I won't go to heaven or hell? That's what you're taking it.
I didn't say all that, Michael. I didn't say all that.
This is my question. If my spirit is not ready to die and I die, what happens? I'm quiet.
I don't know what happens. It depends on what you.
No, I'm dying anyway. Everybody's ready when death comes. We have
but to see
that's going to come.
Now, see, that's a fallacy right there. Everybody is not ready. That's what I'm trying to get you to realize, because a lot of people have not even thought about it. That's my point. Everybody's scared and don't want to face it. That's
what
I'm saying.
What do you mean not face it?
Hold on, man. Let me bring Chris in. I'm not going to keep repeating myself with you, Michael. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm getting straight to the point. I'm ready to die.
Okay.
I'm ready.
You ready?
And in the discussion with that, anybody feel free want to ask why? If not, I'll keep talking.
No, there was a guy named Joe on this line who was waiting.
So, my situation about death, bringing something.
I have something to say.
Okay, as soon as Chris gets finished, I'll let you get it in, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Chris. Finish.
Is bringing a situation to an end. That's it. Living, I have killed and died off a lot of situations. Just something recently this morning, and it was so small. I just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to get into a long story with about what he said, and I said, he said. I just said, you know what? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I killed it. When this is over with, it's over with. I have no need or no desire to hold on to something that does not belong to me to begin with. I'm just grateful for the time I was here. I learned a few things, and I hope people learn some things from me. I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris.
I mean, you can go with all the theological reasons and the religion of what the Bible said and what a person has to say on a high PhD level, what death says and everything like that, but this is what I'm saying. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I'm done for real. I'm done.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right, Joe. Your turn, Joe.
All right. I think what you're trying to get at is, are people psychologically or emotionally ready for the time when death arrives? Are they going to be scared of it? Are they going to be surprised? Or are they prepared mentally for it? Is that what you mean?
Yes, Joe.
Okay. I've been mentally and emotionally prepared for death for over 20 years. How do I know? Because over 20 years ago, I was in a plane going to visit my aunt. The plane went through a lot of turbulence. The stewardess made an announcement over the airwaves that kind of scared all of us, you know. There was a woman sitting in the next seat next to me. She grabbed onto my arm like it was the end of the world because it was possible that we were going down. I was not scared. Everybody else was scared. There wasn't yelling inside the cabin, but I was just ready to meet my maker because I felt I had done a good life. I was a good person. I didn't believe in heaven or hell. That was the end of my life. Hopefully it would have been over with. So I was prepared for death. There are people who are not prepared for death, not emotionally, not mentally, not financially, not in any way. And they should be prepared for death. Dwelling on death, like Mike said, is an unhealthy type of habit. But to be prepared for death so that when death does come, you can accept it without saying, oh, what did I do throughout my life? I didn't do this. Did I leave my legacy? And a yada, 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 that kind of bullshit doesn't have to happen. So, yes, some people are prepared for it, some people aren't. Okay, I see death as an inevitable end. I don't see it as a punishment. I don't see it as anything but just the end of the life. Whatever happens after that happens. We don't have any control. Whether people believe in religion, don't believe in religion, doesn't matter. What only matters is reality, and that reality isn't determined upon what we wish it to be after life. It's going to be there either is a God, no God, heaven, hell, or derivations thereof. So, yeah, that's it. I think I took less than 2 minutes. Hopefully other people will learn.
All right, who messing with the microphone? All right. So go ahead, Mace. You wanted something? You had something to say?
I said, yes, 2 minutes, good.
That's all you had to say?
No, that's all I had. Oh, that was it for me. So, all right.
Oh, okay. I mean, that was it. You're right. You said less 2 minutes, correct?
No, I was just
correct?
Saying, like Joe said, 2 minutes is good. I wasn't complaining.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to comment on that?
No? Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let me continue on a little bit. Well, I already jumped in there, right? So there isn't really much more that I have to say. The purpose of, I thought the show was either about are you prepared for death financially, or now I find out you're going to be, are you prepared for death psychologically? And I thought also the show might be, are you prepared to die for your beliefs? Is that also part of the show, or is
Well, Joe, and when I first came up with the title for the show, that's where I was headed at, you know, because I thought about, you know, Malcolm X and all those cats, you know, but as I begin to think a little bit more, you know, it came to me as this is a deeper subject than just talking about those cats. You know, yes, we already know that they died. They were willing to die because they did die for what they believed in. You know, Muhammad Ali, you know, he let them take his career basically for what he believed in. So, you know, that's the easy part. You know, most parents will say, I die for my children. Most husband wives say they'll die for each other or their family. So that's the easy part. But my question is, can you prepare yourself mentally for that day when it's coming and be able to accept it with no hesitation, no problem? You know, just say, whoever you worship or whatever you say, you know, Lord, I'm ready.
Okay.
Well,
you know? I haven't finished. I have not finished. Huh? That's 2 minutes. He said, can anybody want to jump in? I jumped in. Now I'm in. Now I want to stay for a little bit. Here's the thing. I'm not afraid of death, but the dying part, I don't want to waste away in a hospice, and I don't want to waste away in a hospital. Now, if somebody was to point a gun to my head, I don't know if I'd be afraid. Probably would. But I would be more afraid if terrorists kidnapped me, and let's say I was a millionaire and wanted to keep me in order to keep me for ransom. They might want to torture me for some reason, or, you know. But the death itself doesn't bother me. The dying, if I, you know, thinking about how do I want to die, I don't want to waste away. I don't want to be like, who was it that was on the respirators and the life preservation machines for a while? Shalia, or whatever her name was, made a big, she became a core celeb. In any case, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be in a coma for a year. The death, not a problem. The dying, that could be a problem. Now I'm finished.
All right, who's next?
Well, psychologically being ready to die. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, but some people, when they're Christian, they say they die and they're born again.
Well,
I mean, and then people that want to die some commit suicide, and they're ready.
Thank you, man. Right, because.
Oh.
Well, okay.
And then because some people don't think they're going to die at all. Finish.
Okay.
Because even the person in the deathbed, even though they may know that their time may be short or what have you, each day they're hoping that they leave, try to live another day until that death comes. So we're always striving to live another day.
Well, I would
and if you're not striving to live in another... See, listen, when a soldier goes into war, even though he's fighting, he's trying to come back home. So his goal is not to die.
And that is so
his goal
not
is
the
not
point.
To die.
That is not the
no,
point.
No.
I'm not letting you take me down the rabbit hole today, Michael. No.
No, I'm not.
Let me bring divine design in. All right. Divine Design, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm quite interested in this topic because, I mean, I asked in the chat room who actually said death in the face. If you stare death in the face, your life changes anyway. Your whole attitude to life changes. You are more aware of people around you. You're trying to help other people more. I stared death in the face. I was burned very badly when I was 22. I nearly died, was 3 years in hospital in a burns unit. And I'm going to tell you now, nobody is... I'm ready to die and every minute of the day because, as I said, the next minute is not promised to you. But I go to hospital. I work in a hospital, too, and I visit the dying every day, and none of them are ready because they have unspoken words said to family members they can't reach or anything like that. And it's really, really sad to see.
All right.
All right, you know what, and you bring up some very good point there. You really do, you know, and that is part of it, though. That is part of being ready, you know.
Right.
You know, you're really thinking about, you know, you there's things that you need to clear, you know, get off your mind, you know.
Right.
And you know what, though, and that makes the transition so much easier. You know, that's what
right.
I say. You know, ready to die. You know, if it was the world was in right now, you know, are you mentally, spiritually ready
yep.
to say, I am good?
Right, and I know people saying to me, oh, don't talk about your son, but I will have to tell you about my son. He's 19 years old. He's been walking with death for 19 years, right? His life could end any minute of the day because of his heart, and he knows it. He already had a stroke 6 months ago, and he knows it. So if people say, I don't walk with death every day, I walk with death every day.
Can we say everything is situational? Because a lot of people can be ready
to
die.
No, death is not situational.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the concept of someone's mind being ready to die because someone can strap a bomb up to themselves and go into a mall, they're ready to die for their cause, and boom. Someone can be saying, I'm ready to die for my set. I'm ready to die for my block. I'm ready to die for this. And so I'm, you know, many, so how, where do we cross the line of, you know, psychologically someone being ready to die for their cause and
okay.
doing certain actions
say,
that inflict on other people?
When I say I'm ready to die, I'm walking down the street right now in my city. I can have a stroke, heart attack, somebody can jump out the car and blow my brains out. You know, any reasons. There ain't about no set. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but my personal reasons is when it's over, it's over. That's it. I'm walking down the street. I can collapse and fall out for no reason. They take me to the hospital. We don't see anything wrong. He was in good shape. He was healthy. And I'm sure somebody in that room will say, hey, it was his time. That's it. It's a wrap. I'm ready to die. Every morning I wake up with this could be the day, and I'm cool with it. A lot of stuff to go down in my city, and a lot of times, hey, I could be accidentally the one who got popped.
But you don't wake up. You don't wake up every day and say, "Take me," do you?
I do what?
Do you wake up every day and say, "Take me," or you just wake up every day ready?
I wake up every day, like I said. I say it again. This could be the day.
No, not the question.
You wake up, Maze. I know what you're trying to get. Yes, I wake up. Say,
I don't think
if the will be done. You say if
do.
You will be
I
healed.
No,
so
no, I don't think that. Well, I don't wake
I
up
do.
In the
that's
morning
true.
And
you
think
don't
that,
say
I'm
that. I do. Wait a minute. I wake up in the morning saying that this could be the day, and that's it. You know, I'm not afraid of death. I look forward to it. I honor it. I will cherish it. And that's it. That's me. That's me. Don't. That might be somebody think differently or whatever, but, hey, this is what I think about death. When
well,
it comes,
what you think about.
I will embrace
asking,
it.
But you're not
that's
asking
it.
Death to take you when you wake up in the morning.
No, I didn't say that. I said
okay.
When the day comes.
So you mean to tell me
that's like,
every
that's
day
like,
really,
that's like saying suicide, death take me, no, but
okay.
If it happens, you know, I'm walking across the street right now. Somebody could just zoom, knocks me over while I'm talking to you.
No.
Okay. Airplane can fall out the sky and land on my head. I'm not a paranoid person when it comes to death. Oh, my goodness. I'm just staying in the house for the rest of my life because something can happen to me. I know people like that. But they got some other medical ability issues going on, too. But I'm just not like that. I'm going to continue and live my life. And when it happens, it happens. And that's it.
That's what everybody's doing. Because you never know the day, time, or the hour.
Because psychologically.
Never know. Hey, I'm not going to let it scare me.
But I'm not going to do anything for the day.
All right, hold on. That's the train going by. I know what that is. that's a train in Chicago, the L. But, you know, Mays, yes, we know that nobody knows the day nor the hour. You know, that does not mean everyone has embraced death, you know, and made it, you know, that you are ready. You know, just because you know what it said, the Bible says, oh, well, okay, that's good. But have you had really looked deep inside yourself and said, you know, no matter what happens, when it happens, I am ready. I'm ready. You know, and to answer your question, getting up in the morning, you know, get up in the morning and say, Lord, let your will be done. Which means if it's my time to go, I'm going to go.
That's the way everybody thinks. I mean, everybody
does not think like that.
No,
that's
I don't
the point
like
I'm
that.
Trying to make.
Okay.
Unless you don't think you're going to die. They're going to live forever. Some people do think they're going to live forever.
Some mornings I don't pray. I'm just being, I don't even pray. It is what it is. And I'm going to start praying, Lord, help me. Because it's some shit up here for, man, I need to do that a little bit more. But, you know,
a lot of people could be walking down the street together. One get hit and die, and the other one get hit and live.
Yeah.
Do you say,
I've
Lord,
seen
help me not to...
The lightning is like one
Lord,
and
help
not the other, standing next to each other.
Okay, so do people pray, Lord, help me live? Because if you say, Lord, help me live, that means you're not...
Go continue, Michael. It wasn't you this time.
I hope Mike was ready to die.
No, it wasn't Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
Because if he wasn't, see how quick life can go by?
No. What I was saying is that, okay, when people know that they may be dying and they may be praying and say, God, please, I don't want to die. God, please heal me. Then they want to reverse that. They won't want that. So there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Well, see, once
is
again,
that
means they're not ready, Michael.
So you mean to tell me that if a person's going through an illness and if they think that they're going to die, right, if they pray to God and say, please, I want to live and please heal me, right, which people do, they're not ready to die. And that's a bad state that they're in, or what? Is that a good state or that's a bad state? Should they just accept it and don't pray and don't try to get better or just say, you know what, I'm ready to die, let me go ahead and die. Let this illness just take me over. I got it. Where did the acceptance come in at?
The acceptance should have come in way before they got sick, Michael. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Way before that point. If you just decided to do that then, you know, who's having these issues? Hold on. I'll figure it out in a minute. Somebody having some issues here. Okay, I got it. But, Michael, you understand what I'm saying? When you get to that point,
no,
you should have already decided and made your peace and know, okay, look, I'm ready for this. Whether I get better or if I get worse, regardless, I am ready. Of course, you know, some people ain't not going to lay there and you know, have pneumonia or something, and then all of a sudden goes, oh, yeah, I'm ready
but
to go. No, it's not like
this.
That. Right.
But trying to stop death is saying you're not ready for death. Trying to stop praying and saying I want to live. When a doctor says, look, you
Michael,
have
didn't I just, wait a minute, didn't I just say that?
All right. All right. He didn't hear you. But what difference does it make?
If you're not ready,
die at peace, you're going to go anyway. What difference does it make if you're ready or not ready?
That's what I'm
Is that
saying.
Gonna matter
what
after
saying.
You die if you were ready
yes,
or not ready? Or do you have like an hour or two of serenity knowing that you're gonna die and you just let go and that it's a peaceful thing as compared to dying in agony and not wanting to go? Does it make that much of a difference? When you're gone, you're gone.
Well, okay. When you're gone, you're gone. You're right. You're right, Beasley. When you're gone, you're gone.
I mean, I don't understand the difference that it makes if you're ready or not. If you're emotionally
it makes
ready,
a whole,
and if you come
it,
to
it makes a whole
what?
Lot of difference.
How?
It makes a whole lot of difference. Easy. Here it is. All right. When
it
you're
makes
not
a difference
ready,
between going out in a peaceful mind state or going out in an agitated mind state.
And
you're
we
still
don't
dead,
know.
No matter what your mind state was, no matter what your disposition was, how you felt. I mean, if you feel peaceful and blissful and calm and all of that, and you go out, does it make a difference if you're miserable and crying and angry and don't want it to happen? Does it make that much of a difference? To me, it doesn't make that much of a difference.
It is what it is. Right. It
you go,
is
you go, is. You go, you're gone. It don't matter what your attitude is about it. Seriously.
Okay. Yeah, well,
you know, what is,
to me, it does make a difference. You know, because once you have accepted it and have, oh, man, have given yourself to the point to where, you know, no matter when it happens, you are ready. You know, as far as, oh, it's going to happen. It's gonna, well, yeah, we know it's going to happen. That's a gimme. It's going to happen.
Okay, so the
you
question
know, but,
is,
but,
what
but the
if
question
I'm not
is,
ready? Okay,
well,
okay.
You, only no, you
okay.
know that. See, that's the thing. Only you know that. If you're not ready, if you're not ready, you have to deal with it. When time comes, you're going to deal with it one way or another. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So why not go ahead?
Tell me what things that...
You know, and see, this is what I was talking about when I started the show, because I already know there's going to be something that's going to argue the thing down that it makes no difference. I said that already. But it does make a difference. You know, it's one thing to be on your deathbed and scared as hell to let it go, let life go. It's and I've seen that too, where they land there and they just fighting to hold on because they have no idea what death is about and how to embrace it. You know, and then you have those on the other side that's there. They have made up in their mind, did deep cleaning and what have you, to the point where they know they are ready. There's no need to hang on around here now. There's no need
to keep
putting
myself for that. So you have to be talking about preparing for the afterlife.
Yeah. So
you have to believe in an afterlife. To
exactly.
To think. So you're speaking about the afterlife.
Because what is the benefit of being prepared and not prepared when death is
going
to come to all of us? What is the benefit?
Okay, I told y'all, I don't need to yell. Listen, all right, whether you believe in the afterlife or not, let me go on and clarify this. Whether you believe in the afterlife, that's your business, you know, because you got atheists don't believe in nothing. You got agnostics, you got whoever, all right? Whether you believe in it or not, the thing is still you need to be psychologically, spiritually ready to let go. You know, I know everybody want to put all these little different twists on it, but the bottom line is you need to be ready. Now,
Eric?
Yes, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, I'm going to differ with you on this because it really doesn't matter because death is an overpowering force. and it's going to take you unless God makes some sort of exception. There have been a few exceptions, I think Enoch and Elijah. But the thing of it is, I see what you're saying, but that's mostly for your own comfort, and if that's the case, that's fine. But really it doesn't matter, because what happens is once you die, and I believe there is a life after death, absolutely, then of course you're in a much better place if you've trusted in God. Otherwise, you're in deep doo-doo, and you should be concerned about it, similar to what Beasley said. But the transition is so, you know, tremendous once you pass through that veil of tears, as it were, that it doesn't matter because you've made it. And so that's really it. It doesn't matter. You're talking about this preparedness, and I would say to you, I think Michael raised a good question. What happens if you're not prepared? What's the downside?
Well, like I told Michael, the downside is, I mean, to each, everybody has their own way of doing it, okay? If you're not prepared, then and what I believe is, it just makes it a little bit harder to go on to the other side, okay? Because a lot of individuals who has not, you know, really came to the terms with, you know, death, you know, they have a more tendency to fight and cause more pain and suffering than if they were prepared, you know, and ready to go. I mean, that's just what my take on it. You know, that's my take.
I just want to say something real quick. Well, let's use Joe. Let's say I was sitting next to Joe in the airplane, and I'm saying, "Oh, they better fix this plane. I don't want to die right now." Joe, he says he's calm. But if the plane crashes, we still at death. Now, you can't say that I was ill-prepared. Of course, if you're going to say I wasn't ready to die, I'm using logic. Come on, I don't want this plane to fall. Can y'all do something? Yeah, I may panic, but the death is going to come in front of us. But
okay,
no, hold on.
All right.
I want to say this one thing, and I'm finished. One more thing. One more thing, Mr. Talk. Mr. Solution says he believes that there is life after death. Therefore, is there death? Listen to what he said, because I'm talking about the meaning. Are you talking about the physical? But if this physical form is that we're deaf and we're no longer in this physical form, we are men. What is death? What is the meaning of death? Is if something is that we're all alive? I agree. Energy can't be created or destroyed. Really, how can you say something does not exist? What is death? What does it really mean? If you're saying there's life afterwards, what is it really
Michael, we're not going down that road with you today, because you're going on a whole different thing. Let's stay what we're talking about. Are you ready to die, Michael? Are you ready to die, Michael? Michael, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die?
If someone comes in this office,
are you ready to? That's yes or no, Michael. That's yes or no. Yes or no. Are you ready to die? They ain't got nothing. Are you ready to die?
If it comes to me, I'm going to defend myself. If someone tries to kill me, I will defend myself.
Michael, that's a yes or no answer. Are you ready to die?
If death becomes to me, when I'll die, I'll die. I'll have to accept it. And I hope my family members can do it too.
Okay. All right. Now I'm not. Okay. Mr. Solution, I'm going to ask you the same question. Are you ready to die? Uh-oh, my bad. I hit the wrong button.
You know, it's amazing. They say a broken clock is right twice a day. Yes, I don't want to, and I don't think much of my actions would avoid that for me, as is true with most of us. And, so no. But Muhammad Ali, I want to just refer to that briefly. You brought him up. What happened to him was thrust upon him. Well, I mean, obviously he didn't die. He's still living. But that was thrust upon him. Now, Martin Luther King could have avoided death. I think he was a very courageous man. He certainly could have avoided death, but he was a martyr. But Muhammad Ali, that was thrust upon him, and I'm sure he would prefer that not have happened to him. But so, like Michael just said, death takes care of itself. I mean, you know, the Grim Reaper, as it were. We're going to die at some point. And so whether we're ready or not, it's going to happen. Now, I know you're presenting it in a nice way and saying be prepared, but I think it's just when it meets you, when whatever happens. Like Joe said, he was on the plane and he had made peace with himself and that sort of thing, where someone else was very uncomfortable. And I understand both situations. You kind of give yourself to a resolve that whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But if someone had said, Joe, here's an escape. The plane is going down. You can escape. I'm sure he would have said, okay. He wouldn't have said, well, I've made my peace. I'm going to go down with the ship. No. So, I mean, it's the options that we have regarding death, ultimately. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes plenty of sense. And you're right. If you have the chance to get out of it, say, yeah, you're not just going to go and, you know, kill yourself or go down just for the sake to say, well, I'm ready to die. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, as far as Muhammad Ali, you know, even though it was thrust upon him, only thing he could have said is raised his right hand, and he'd been gone, and he would have had his boxing career still, hopefully, after he got back from Vietnam. But he stood up for what he believed in. You know, even though it did cost him, some say, you know, the three years. But, the, you know, in boxing, that's a long time. So,
yeah, the prime,
you know,
of his boxing career.
Right.
But see,
so,
Eric, I'm a former soldier, and you are too, but you saw combat. I'm pretty sure you saw people die, and you said you saw your mother and your brother die, but they died from an illness, which makes it quite a bit different. But nevertheless, you are at a different place. And I don't know how your life is going. Are you happy right now? Do you look forward to living? I mean, do you have things to do tomorrow?
Oh, hold up. Wait a minute. Wait, Mrs. Lucian. I am very happy, all right? There's nothing wrong with me. But there's nothing wrong with me mentally, all right? I am very happy. Me, my family, my wife, we all good, all right? So, I do not walk around thinking about dying and all that on a daily basis. Yes, I do have thoughts about, you know, my mom passing and my brother passing and my father passing, you know, and yes, I do think about it. And I say, yes, I must get myself ready for that. And yes, I do think about, am I ready? And yes, I can say today that I am ready. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry,
so,
but what you saw in the military has an impact on you too toward living and toward life and death, correct?
Yeah, you can say that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's okay. But yeah, that's it. It's an interesting subject for a moment. Okay. Go, continue.
How can you be, Mr. Solution, how can someone be ready when they don't know that time has come? I have to be ready. I mean, I have an appointment tomorrow, so I have to do things to get ready for that appointment. But how can you be really, truly ready when you don't know the unexpected? That's my question to everyone.
I understand what Eric means. He just means that he's emotionally and psychologically prepared when it happens. That's all. I don't think it's. Is it much more than that, Eric? Did I summarize it? You're emotionally and mentally ready when it happens.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I've been trying to say
that.
The whole show.
Right.
You know, and we went all the way around the world just to come back to what I was saying earlier. Okay. Yes. Go ahead, Michael. I know you got more to say. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I mean, hypothetically, a person that would be saying that they're ready to die, if they would get it diagnosed with an illness, should they just say, well, I'm ready to die, I got this illness, give up, or say, you know, I'm going to fight it, I'm not ready
Michael,
to die.
Michael,
what is the concept of that? I think life should always be, you know, try to, you know,
Michael,
to come.
I think we covered that already. I think we covered that.
But no, psychologically, no. But I'm saying psychologically, what is the benefit of not being ready to die? Can we talk about two sides of the coin? saying, hold
well,
on, I'm going to present.
Okay, no, Mike. Let me answer your question.
I'm a pray
to. You know what? How you ask questions and don't shut up so somebody else to answer, but you're going to shut up right now. All right, now. Good Lord. Now, to answer your question, Michael, you know, if you sick or however you put it, and you are, you know, on the bed, or you need to you get medicated to trying to make you well, you know, you're not going to lay there and say, okay, well, I'm sick, okay, I'm ready to die, I'm going to die. No, that's not what it means, Michael. You know, if you can, you know, that's like the example Mr. Solution used with Joe on the plane. Okay, if the plane has a escape and you be used, use it. That's the point. Oh, Michael hung up on me. Oh, my. You know, but just be mentally and spiritually ready for when it does happen. You know, you're trying to put all these different scenarios in it, and it's not that difficult. It's not. But you continue to try to make it as complicated as you can, and the only person you're confusing is yourself. All right? Is you this you, Michael?
Well, I'm never confused. I mean, other people, you know, talked about what we were talking about. Even Beasley talking about this. But I'm just saying, me personally, every day I don't think about this day I may die. I don't live my life that way. I live. I automatically know it's going to come. But each and every day I'm thinking about living. That's all I want to say. That's it. I'm done.
Okay. All right. You're done. All righty then. Well, since that is the case, anything else anybody want to say? Maze? Maze been kind of quiet lately. Beasley?
I'm okay.
Let me bring Big Chris in.
I'm over here living.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Big Chris. You up?
Wow, that's amazing. He knows when it's going to happen every day, because I don't. I don't know what's going to happen Friday. You know, I live my day really don't think about tomorrow or some certain situation. I just live for today, man. That's all I want to say.
All right. All right, then. Well, I guess we didn't got as much as we going to get out of this conversation. Imagine that. But okay. That's cool. You know, I understand. And I said that earlier when the show began, you know, I wasn't expecting that much out of others anyway. But it's all good. So what I'm about to do now is let y'all get your last words in. And we're going to start with Maze. Okay. Maze, you up. Your last words, ma'am.
Mr. Talk, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm not ready to die.
Okay.
So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Anything else?
Finish.
All right. Thank you. See you tomorrow. All right, Mr. Solution.
I think that I don't want to die. I think death is horrible. That's what Christ came to conquer was death, and he definitely made the down payment on it. And ultimately, it points out that Christ will conquer death. And that is the ultimate hope for humanity. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Miss Divine Design, are you still there? Miss Divine Design, are you there? Are you
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry, I was on the phone. Yeah. really, what I can say is I am not ready to die because I've got lots of things to do. Am I scared of death? Absolutely. Because because I see people every day, and it breaks my heart. And I saw somebody in a chat room as well talking about people in nursing homes. It breaks my heart what goes on there. And they're scared. They're scared old people. They have got nobody there with them. And no, I'm scared. And who says, when death comes, death comes, and I can't stop it. But, oh, yeah, I'm scared of it, and I should be. And I believe in God, too. So, you know, so I put my faith in God, and he has helped me through a lot of things. And you know, even with my own fears of death, but even looking death in the face, I'm still scared of it.
Okay.
So, that's it. Have a good night.
All right, you too, and thank you for calling in today. All right, well, I think that's everybody. Whew, what a great show, man. What a great show. You know, it's, I guess that's one of those questions that I guess you can't put out for the masses. You know, that's just one of those questions to where you just have to deal with on your own. You know, deal with it on your own. But you know, I often wonder though, you know, how many of us are going, you know, we talked about it on the show, that's fine, you know, and yeah, I put some things out that was personal, but I want y'all to understand where I am, and I think Mr. Solution said it right, you know, eventually you have to get to that point in your life, both mentally and spiritually, to where you can say, I'm ready, you know, I have no more fear, you know, of death. But, you know, some others, they will have it, you know, until they go on to the other side. I just think once you have, you realize that you're ready to face it and head on, it's a lot easier to deal with. I'm not saying walk around thinking about, I'm going to die today, or you're going to jump off of a bridge or something. No, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is you being ready to deal with it when your time comes. That's all. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me, y'all. I have enjoyed talking with y'all. Thanks, everybody, for participating today. And if you do nothing else, just think about that for a hot minute. You know, you ain't got to linger on it. Just think about it for a hot minute. All right? All right. So, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I'm saying see y'all tomorrow. We're out of here.
Bye-bye.